Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Slareth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
The Avalanche. Boy, talk about just persistence and persevering. They dominated Calgary last night in the first period. Outshot them 20-6, but were down 2-1. No problem. No frustration. Kept playing their game. And then the floodgates opened. 5 goals in the second period. They cruised to a 6-2 win in Calgary. Jared Bednar seeing his new guys fitting in well.
I like the way they're fitting in. I think they all provide something a little different. And they're playing to their identity and figuring out the structure of our game and the identity of our team and how we want to play. And like I said this morning, I think they're just going to get better and better as they sort of figure that out, game at a time here.
Yeah, Casey Mittelstadt on a beautiful drop pass from one of the new guys, Duhain. He went in and scored, but it was the top guys that once again led the way. Mikko Rantanen, 2 goals, 2 assists. Nathan MacKinnon, a goal and an assist. Val Nichushkin, a goal and 2 assists. The dude is, he literally picked up right where he left off. And I thought, I told you coming out of the trade deadline, the boxes that I wanted to see checked, what was number one? Getting Val back to his pre-departure level.
It feels like he's there quicker than.
Quicker than I thought,
yeah,
honestly.
Me too.
Dude, I figured ability, he'd get there, but not this quick.
His big body, his ability to camp out in front of the net, you know, and just wreak havoc. Well, one of the goals where he gets the puck and, you know, shoves it into the goal and it careens out and Rantanen's right there on the backside to stuff it back in. Like, that is the kind of thing that without Val, you just don't have that dude. He is that guy. He's a big, man, there's a reason those numbers are so overwhelming when he's in versus when he's out. He's a difference maker.
See if the Avs can keep that jump going tonight as they play back-to-back, staying in British Columbia, BC, as they'll be taking on the Canucks.
Yeah, throwing the shrimp on the bobby.
That's not, BC. There's no. Avs and Canucks. Do we still have the Canucks drop? That was, I always loved that
the
one.
Canucks.
And the poor...
The lady.
News
They'll
lady.
Take on the Canucks. They sent a news person out to cover the sports. Yeah, that was great.
Canucks.
The Canucks. Avs and Canucks tonight.
The Avs and Canucks.
Ah, I can't wait. Okay.
Second down.
Throw out the records when the Avs and Canucks get together. Because
yes.
It's that good. Broncos free agency. Broncos free agency to this point has been what? Fill in the blank.
Tepid. It's kind of lukewarm, right?
Like, I wasn't expecting a lot, but no. I got to admit, I think I was kind of expecting a little bit more.
I like the Roach move. See Mace's numbers he put on Roach? Did you see this?
Defensive tackle Malcolm Roach from the Saints.
Yeah. You see his... So,
I know, Mace,
I don't know how this...
You love Mace's numbers.
Oh, yeah. Malcolm Roach had 23 stops, tackles constituting a failure for the opposing offense against the run last year. That gave him a run percentage of 17.4%. I don't know what that means. 23 on 139 runs, defensive snaps per PFF. You know, this is another, you know, deep analytics. But that was number one for interior linemen in the NFL, run stops.
Well, they
what
did
does that
have.
Mean?
They did have.
I don't know.
But
it sounds good.
They did have issues. We heard this. This came up many, many times throughout the course of the season. The Broncos run defense just up the middle, and maybe that explains why DJ Jones hasn't been cut. We thought he might be a prime candidate, but maybe that is so important that they just can't get rid of interior linemen. They need to add.
Also, does it lend? Shed light on, I told you they let Josie Jewell go, right? That was one of our guys.
Yep.
I said, they're not going to pursue him, but does that also shed some light on why Josie Jewell is now a member of the Carolina Panthers, where your career goes to die?
Yeah.
Right?
Josie Jewell, a Panther. Things are so bad in Carolina that country music stars are going after them. We'll tell you more about
it. I know it.
We'll tell you more about that one.
Third down.
Nuggets on the road tonight in Miami. A finals rematch coming right on the heels of the game here. in the last 10 days. So we get to see the Heat back to basically almost back to back, which is awesome. And we'll see the Nuggets out on the road. The Nuggets are in a position now, Mark, where they are in a dead heat with Oklahoma City for the top record in the West. I know that Michael Malone came out of the All-Star break saying, hey, we're not going to chase seeds or anything like that. We're content wherever we finish, wherever we play, it doesn't matter. But let me take it to another level. I know they don't fear going on the road, and as a Nugget fan, you shouldn't fear them going on the road if they did not have home court in a series. But if they end up with the best record in the West,
yeah,
and home court goes, I mean, okay, play the Jinxie Cat, but who's going to beat them?
No, well, nobody.
Nobody's beating them if they have home court throughout the entire. I don't think anyone's beating them if they didn't have home court, but if they do,
yeah,
game over.
And oh,
game over, man.
By the way,
get the drop. Game over, man.
By the way, they'll have, I mean, they'll have, if they win the West and have home court through the West, they'll have home court in the finals.
No, not necessarily.
No, because, no, I'm saying the Celtics are going to spit the bid at some
point.
Oh,
you think some point the Celtics will lose in the East? Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you know, this whole matchup is going to be Celtics-Nuggets.
I know the Nuggets will be there.
Yeah. I just have my doubts about the Celtics and their, you know, they're tough. I saw this thing on Larry Bird. I think he only scored 50. He scored 60 in a game once, and he scored 50 maybe four times. And they're saying Jason Tatum's already scored 55 times in a game. And you're like, please don't compare. Please never, you shouldn't be allowed to be a producer if you're comparing Jason Tatum to Larry Bird. It just shouldn't be allowed. Automatically, you lose your license to produce.
College hoops last night. DU pioneers a fall to South Dakota State in the finals of the Summit League Conference Championship. So no Cinderella March Madness.
They're the Jackrabbits, right?
Yeah, no Cinderella March Madness for the Pios, but hopefully something to build on for next season. And CSU plays today in the Mountain West Tournament against San Jose State, in which the Rammies are a whopping 15.5-point favorite. So go take care of business, Nico Medved and crew, and move on to the next round. CU will be playing tomorrow in the Pac-12 tournament. So there you go. Tell me why I'm wrong Wednesday. We're already off to a great start. Two already. We're 2 for 2 with people breaking through Mark's I Told You So Island. He's been especially I Told You So-ish lately, so we're trying to knock him down a peg. Mm. And I got to react to one of our own who sent out a tweet yesterday about the players the Broncos are losing. And there was a word he used to describe these players that just chapped my butt. That's nice. Coming up next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless bill and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Tell me why I'm wrong Wednesday. Mark's been especially full of himself lately.
That's me. I was holding my hand up.
Yes. Acknowledging.
I just...
Oh, you're asking for permission?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. I've been breaking news.
Oh, go. Let's go.
I just found my favorite player in the league.
Which league?
The NFL. The only league. Which league?
Okay.
Oh, the Rockies. All right. My favorite player in the league right now. Landon Dickerson.
Oh, I heard about this story. This is good.
Highest paid guard in football.
He's a guard.
And he is awesome. Eagles offensive lineman Landon Dickerson agreed to a contract extension worth up to $87 million. Instead of splurging on something fancy, he revealed lawn care is his top priority.
He said he was going to go out and somebody asked him, what's the first thing you're going to buy? He said, a new lawnmower. Boy, you guards all hang together, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. This guy, I love him. Just out there, big sweaty, mowing.
So, tell me why I'm wrong here. So, you've been particularly full of yourself. So we're trying to...
I've been very gracious today.
Knock you off your perch a little bit. And so far we got two, which is amazing, because I think the over-under for a four-hour show, we've established a 3 and a hook.
Yeah.
So we're already there.
I can easily put the clamps on you right
well,
now.
Well, let's see.
All right.
So this guy is begging for you to take this one on.
Mm-hmm.
So the first text was, the Avs can beat anyone. Tell me why I'm wrong. Then followed by, Mark doesn't want to admit that the Avs can beat anyone. Tell me why I'm wrong. See, I see you're out in this, but see if you can find it. You have an out in this one.
Well, then help me out. What's my? I mean,
would you say they could beat anyone?
Of course, hey, the sky is blue.
Right.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Right, because even before the trade deadline, even though I was begging for them to go out and be active and improve the supporting cast, address their hole at 2C, I still acknowledge that you can never count them out because of just the core that they have, and the fact that have two of the top 5 players in all of hockey, 3 of the top 12 players in all of hockey, and 4 of the top 20 players in all of hockey. Right there, that gives you a pretty good starting point. So you can beat anyone, but you know what the out was?
What's that?
Why this guy isn't right is, until we see more, at least prior to the trade deadline, they were a team that could beat anyone. They were also a team that could lose to somebody in the second round.
Sure.
That's what makes all these moves and how they play out so important to watch.
The other thing is, their goaltending has not been, it's been inconsistent. How about that? Would you say that's fair?
Sure.
And then I talked to some of my hockey people. You know, I have hockey people, right?
You do.
I do have hockey people.
Yeah.
The one thing that makes hockey people nervous about the Avs, see if you can go with me on this. This may be something for your hockey podcast.
Oh, good.
You might want to write this down.
My handy dandy notebook. Go ahead.
Come playoff time, defensively, they're small. And so when you get a guy like Val for another team camped out in front of your goaltender, it's hard for the smaller players to get that guy out of the crease, to get him moved, to use that body. Now, they're quick, but they're a bit small, and come playoff hockey, that can be a little bit of a detriment.
That has always been the issue for this group of Avalanche going back over the last several years, is that if they run up against a heavy team that likes to get the puck in deep and then go to work on the forecheck and start wearing out and beating up on those smaller defensemen, it becomes an issue. St. Louis has done it in the past. Vegas has done it in the past. So that is always a concern. But is it a fatal flaw?
It's probably not a fatal flaw, but it is a concern.
It's tough to pin them down, though. If you can pin them down, then yeah, you can go to work on them. But they're so quick, they're tough to pin down. That's the issue.
Yeah, but my thing was more about getting guys that can camp out in front of your crease, in front of your goaltender. Moving those guys out with smaller bodies has been difficult. And that was the concern going forward from my hockey people.
Okay, your hockey people aren't wrong. They aren't wrong. My guy, Will Peterson. Scrappy Will. He sent out a tweet yesterday, and I want to focus on this.
You truly responded to it.
Did you already? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to focus on this one word that he used that chaps me a bit, okay? See if it chaps you as well, Broncos country. He sent out a tweet. Russell Wilson, Justin Simmons, Jerry Jeudy, Lloyd Cushenberry, Josie Jewell, and perhaps another big one still to come. Can't remember this many household names leaving in one off season, even if it was largely expected. Household names? Household names? Can anybody be referred to as a household name when you're winning 5, 6, 8 games year after year after year? Household?
Right. Some of these guys aren't even known in their own house. I mean, seriously, they've won nothing. Yeah, I responded to that tweet. You know what I said?
What'd you say?
Well, let me get this. I don't want to misquote myself.
Mark doesn't want to take himself out of context.
Yeah. Household names that haven't won jack bloop. bleep, in Denver, time to rebuild. Good riddance. Dude, listen, man. Lloyd Cushenberry is a nice player. Do I think you should pay him the third highest paid center in football? Absolutely not. I like Josie Jewell. He's a good player. Do I think you should break the bank on Josie Jewell? Nope. You know what I think about Russell Wilson. I mean, we'll see if he can beat out Kenny Pickett with the tiny hands.
And I know how you feel about Pro Football Focus rankings and all that, but Brandon Jones, the safety they got, was actually a higher rated safety last year than Justin Simmons.
Justin missed a couple of games. I've told you, like, hey, listen, man.
And I'm not here to bag on guys they walk out the door. But household names?
We talked about, and Justin is the one guy. He's been around here for a long time, great in the community, and a really good player. But I told you, we talked about this on the podcast, how this league, the Fangio effect at the safety position, and how the safeties have gone from big-time money to now, like, Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard went from making $15 million a year, you know, all pro safety in Tennessee, blah, blah, blah. He's traded it to Philadelphia, leaves Philadelphia, just signs a contract with Chicago. He got $15 million over 2 years. The salaries of safeties are getting cut in half. It's like the running back position. The NFL's moved on from paying a middle of the field defender because of the Fangio effect and everybody playing the shell coverage stuff that they're playing.
I brought up this stat over the 6 years before Sean Payton's first year here. Over those 6 years, the Broncos had a 40-70 record. 40-70. If you think I'm going to refer to one player from a 40-70 stretch of football as household, right, you're crazy. And I love Will, but I think this is a case where he's just gotten used to losing. He's accepted mediocrity. And mediocrity actually feels better compared to the uncertainty of what they're doing in this offseason. And which is why losing guys like this is, in his opinion, tough to do. Because he's gotten used to mediocre football players.
Right. Household. You'd rather have mediocrity than going through the pain. I mean, that right there is the Band-Aid mentality.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Let's just keep putting Band-Aids on it.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll heal. You need stitches.
These are Band-Aids, okay? All the guys that are leaving, Band-Aids.
Mm.
That's all.
That's why.
Names, Band-Aids.
Somebody asked if Justin Simmons was a Ring of Famer. 40-70 says no.
Yeah, I don't think so. No.
40-70 says no.
No. No.
You got to win something here. To never have participated in a playoff game?
Yeah. No.
Sorry. I mean, I'm just sorry. Sorry for him because he's a damn good player. I really like him.
And I hope he goes somewhere. I really do. I hope he goes somewhere where he has a chance to
win it all.
What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Avalanche had a couple days off, a couple of good practices, getting Val Nichushkin back up to speed, working in some of the new guys that they acquired at the trade deadline. And it all came together in an impressive 6-2 win over Calgary on the road last night. 5 goals in the second period. Nathan MacKinnon scored and set a new career high for most points in a season. Jared Bednar. It's like constantly asking Michael Malone to come up with new superlatives for Nikola Jokic. Same thing for Jared Bednar talking about his star.
The drive to be the best player he can be. Keep improving his game in little areas and just, you know, whether it's just a fraction in one area that helps him get better and a fraction in another one, he's constantly looking to improve, like his off-ice habits, seeking out the knowledge that any knowledge he can get to help make him better.
You wonder what sets the good from the great. the great from the really great, the really great to the, you know, immortals and everything. It's they never get satisfied.
Yeah,
they're never satisfied. They're constantly looking to add something else to their game. They're always convinced that there's another gear.
Think about this. We have got the best player in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get the Hart Trophy winner, right? We're going to have the best player in the National Hockey League, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Ian McKinnon.
I would be stunned if they both don't win MVPs.
Have the Broncos ever had the what's considered the best player in the league, or has the Rockies ever had the best player in the league at any given time?
Oh, yeah, Peyton.
But at that point, was he considered the best player in the league?
Oh, the best?
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. You're right.
John Elway, maybe. Was he an MVP of the league? Was he ever an MVP of the league? He had to be the MVP of the league at one point, right?
But never to the point where it was just like everybody sat back and just said, oh, yeah, this is the
best player.
Yeah, I think in Jokic's case, it's just widely accepted.
Yeah, unless you work on ESPN.
Exactly, outside of a few spots like Bristol, Connecticut. But even there, I think they know.
87 MVP for Elway.
That's right.
So it was probably the best. He was probably considered the best.
Was he, though? Because at that time, he was still dealing with Marino and... Montana was still playing, right? So I don't know. No, I don't think it was. You can win an MVP, but not necessarily be just widely regarded as the best guy. The best guys are the ones that, like, even if they don't win the MVP like Jokic did, we all understand why he didn't win the MVP.
Johnny, who was first team All-Pro when he won the MVP? Because he was second team All-Pro when he won the MVP.
Elway?
So that means there was another quarterback considered better.
McKinnon's still trying to get to that point.
Montana was the first team All-Pro.
Okay. But I get where you're going. Jokic, I think, is just widely regarded as the best player in the NBA.
Okay.
Whereas McKinnon still, he can win the MVP, but there'll probably still be people around who'll say, yeah, well, but this guy, but that guy.
Okay, as far as the Rockies are concerned.
Who?
The Rockies.
Who are these Rockies you speak of?
I mean, you know, we've got, like, was Larry Walker ever the...
No.
All right. Has Chris Bryant ever been... Has Chris Bryant ever...
By the way...
Last year, was he considered at one point the best player in the league?
Have you noticed I've been like... I woke up this morning with a crick in my neck.
Yeah.
And I think I slept on a prison bed.
Prison bed.
I think I did.
How about Terrell Davis when he won the MVP? Would he have been considered the best player in the league at that time?
No.
Why no?
Because
1998.
You can be the MVP, but not the MVP. The best, when you are widely considered the best player in the league, everybody knows it even if you don't win the MVP.
Okay, but at that point, was Terrell Davis not considered the best player in the league? Who is better than TD in 1998?
Oh, boy, I'd have to go back and look at all
that. Because, I mean, I know where you're going. I'm just saying, you know, 2,000-yard season.
Back in the day. Let's move on because I want to talk about Nikola Jokic. Actually, I want to listen to Bob Ryan. If you want to listen to an authority on NBA basketball, this guy from the Boston Globe, from ESPN, I mean, literally, he's seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's seen it all. And he's seen all the players. He's seen all the eras. He's seen all the different teams. There is, in my mind, no better authority to comment on anything regarding the NBA, and here's what he had to say about Larry Bird and Nikola Jokic comparisons.
There's a level of efficiency that very, very few ever attain, and for even a brief period of time in a game, and I call it mastery of the game. Larry reached that point in the mid-80s, and they're very complementary if you think about it.
Let me tell you something. I know Bob Ryan. I followed Bob Ryan's career long enough to know that if he is putting anybody in the same breath as Larry Bird's his guy.
Yeah.
Above all others. And if he's putting Jokic in the same breath, you can't get a better endorsement than that.
What do you say? The complimentary
with an E? Complimentary, not like compliment, like I'm paying you a compliment. Complimentary, like your game. your game is complementary. You you bring it all together. One part complements the other.
Right. Yeah. No. Okay. No, his game is complementary to
Bird's
game. Yes. I mean, it's there's a comparison
there's
there.
A
it's
very, very. He sees the same guy.
So that's complementary with an E.
Yes, Professor Zeus.
Gosh, on Friday, he had a little Professor Zeus in him,
did.
Didn't he?
He did. He did.
When I think about Larry Bird, I think complimentary with an E.
That'll do it.
It's like Zeus.
I had other stories I wanted to get to, but you know what? I'll do them coming up next. Nick Saban comes across as the biggest hypocrite there is. And is this not the most Aaron Rodgers New York Jet story ever? We'll have that, plus tell me why I'm wrong, all that coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Tell me why I'm wrong Wednesday. A lot of good tell me why I'm wrongs coming in. We'll get to those as Mark's been feeling particularly full of himself. I know. Stop the presses, but
I don't know that I've been feeling full of my.
Full of yourself. You've been a little extra full of yourself.
No, I've just been right.
Well, as you like to remind everybody.
No, I mean it's not ego, or it's not. Don't let my confidence offend your insecurity. It's not. It's when you're right, you're just right.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
and so humble about it.
Yeah, there's no. I mean. You really need to be humble when you're just right.
So we're having some fun. Tell me why I'm wrong. It's Assaulting Mark's I Told You So Island. So far we get two. We've gotten off to a good start, so we'll keep rolling here. But I want to get into a couple things that I was not able to get to in What's Trending because you hijacked the segment. That's okay, which is fine. No, it's fine.
You
it's
know, sometimes fine. I have questions.
It's fine. How about Nick Saban was on Capitol Hill? Nick Saban goes to Washington.
Uh-huh.
They were doing a Capitol roundtable about college sports and NIL.
Yeah.
And, well, here's what Nick Saban had to say about the evils of what now plagues college football.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this?
Hey, by the way, follow-up question for you, Nick Saban. Which house was it that you hosted these players? Was it your $17 million lake house or your $11 million mansion? Which house was it that you hosted
these
guys?
Yeah, but he's not wrong.
I'm just curious.
He's not wrong. Right? Is he wrong?
Is he wrong? Well, he's making it. His point is that this is bad. This is bad for college football. This is is robbing. It's sapping what college football, college sports should be all about. And this is taking away from that.
But is he wrong? Is it? Do you think it is taking away from that? Do you think it is? See, my problem with the NIL, and I'm all for players getting paid. The issue is when the going gets tough, guys tuck their tails between their legs and they leave. And they go look for greener pastures. And, you know, I'm a believer that the grass is greener where you water it. And during the tough times is where you learn something about yourself. So he's not wrong. Is there some hypocrisy because college coaches make so much? Yeah, probably.
Oh, two things can be true at the same time.
Right.
He comes across as a massive hypocrite.
Okay.
In all of this.
Which is fine. I understand that.
But he is acknowledging that being a college football coach is tougher than it ever was because you're constantly worried about guys jumping into the portal. You're constantly worried about guys asking how much they're going to get paid. And Yeah.
He referenced, by the way.
And he's out of college football because of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd be still there.
He referenced not the play. Well, I know that he referenced the players at some point in that diatribe, but he was referencing the parents. How much is my son going to get paid? How much is, you know, which is, again, I mean, this is just a societal thing. It's how we've changed as people. And there is, I don't know where the NIL stuff is going to go, and I don't know if it will find its, you know, there's the ebb and flow and peaks and valleys of this thing, and if it'll find some stability. But dude, every time the going gets tough, you can't just pack your bags and leave. But
has it affected college football? College football ratings are still massive.
Yeah.
Attendance is still
the money is massive. Still ridiculous.
The money is flowing like pure honey.
Like the salmon of Capistrano.
So is
money,
it
money, money, money,
is
money,
it just
money.
A case of hey, sorry, Nick. You know, the you always had the power. You were the king of your castle, and everybody had to do your bidding, and you made millions and millions of dollars doing it. And meanwhile, you and other coaches who were making millions and millions of dollars, you could go in front of a player in his living room with his parents and say, I'm going to be here for 4 years. I'm going to see you graduate.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a year later, he's skipping off.
Right, sure.
To go get a new deal with more money.
I know there's hypocrisy, and you know from day one.
So
I've always said I don't have any problem paying the players. I don't. I have zero problem with it. But it certainly has changed the landscape, and some of the changes that have happened in that landscape, to me, they're bad for developing people. They're just bad for the development.
So, yeah, but come on. These big-time college basketball and college football coaches, do you think their AD says, hey, listen, I know you went 2-9 this year, but boy, the graduation rate's 80%. We're going to keep you on.
Yeah, no.
It's one big giant
It's a business. There's no question about that, man. And there's plenty of hypocrisy to go around. But, you know, when I watch or when I see, hey, this kid's a really, you know, he's a really good draft prospect. He played at three different colleges over the course of his, you know, college career. I don't know. It just feels like a red flag.
But it's a different way of doing things. And for decades, college coaches had it knocked. What a system. You get these guys in. They can't go anywhere. You got them. And meanwhile, you could take off in a moment's notice. And, by the way, the NFL had the system knocked because they had a free minor league development system.
Mm-hmm.
They never had to go set up minor league baseball and minor league hockey. It was all done for them. And so now they got to work a little bit harder to determine if a guy who's moved around to a couple of different schools is a red flag or not. Adjust. Nick Saban, adjust. It's why I keep saying CU landing Deion Sanders could not be a better move because he represents the new way of doing things.
I get
Nick
that.
Deion Sanders isn't going to go up in front of Capitol Hill and say, oh, the system, I hate the system. It doesn't work.
I get that. But let me ask you this. Will Nick Saban or will Deion Sanders win? Because at what point does, you know, the you don't believe and, you know, and we come in and at what point do you have to start backing it up with
bowl
games.
Yeah, no, you have to win.
And don't you have to be a bowl eligible team this year?
Yes.
You can't win. You can't win just another four.
No. The floor for me is a complete flip from what they did last year. 4-8 has to be 8-4. That's the floor. That's the baseline. I really am expecting more, but 8-4 is your baseline.
I don't know. My just like I know this is a philosophical talk, but so I'm talking to Rocky Heights Middle School yesterday. And one of the kids asked me, was the most impactful play of your life? You know, and you start thinking, wow, impactful plays, you know, what impacted my life? And I was thinking about John Elway's helicopter, and I'd mentioned that. But then it dawned on me in the middle of answering the question that, you know, I was completely unprepared for. It's like when I blew up my knee. First time I tore my ACL. I'm laying in a hospital bed by myself. It's over Thanksgiving break. I don't have my family. I have nobody there. And I'm in just pain on this machine that keeps your leg moving 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm thinking to myself, man, maybe this NFL thing ain't going to work out. And it's when I decided to become a student. Literally, I went from a D and C, just barely staying eligible student, to a, you know, a B plus student for the rest of my college career. It's the most impactful thing I did was tear up my knee, because it made me realize that football is, it may not be the end all be all, and I better get a freaking degree.
So do you think that anybody who jumps into the portal and transfers schools, do you automatically look at that person as being weak-minded?
Not
adverse to...
Right, not necessarily. It depends on the situation.
Being an adult and being mature and taking on a challenge head-on, do you automatically look at that person differently?
No, it just depends on the situation. Like, I understand there's some places where maybe the scheme or whatever just doesn't fit you. Didn't fit your skill set. Okay, I get that. But when you start jumping from school to school to school, every time there's a problem, I don't know, man.
You can only do it once.
I see guys that have, they've been on three schools in this draft. They've played in three different schools.
Excuse me, you're right. You can do it more than once. There has been legislation to limit it to one, but that was struck down so people can still move. But this is so new. Don't you think it's going to eventually kind of...
I think it'll find its...
Even, yes, it'll find its water level.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I do, but I do. There is a part of me where, I don't know about you, man, but I've never learned anything about myself in the good times, because I'm too busy patting myself on the back. But during the tough times, Mike, I learned what I was made of during the tough times. And I think there's value in that. And I'm not blaming the kids. It's like when I have production meetings and I sit down with a player of today's, you know, generation, and players don't know who I am. They don't have any idea what my career was like, or that I even played in the National Football. I had a guy playing for Chicago, defensive end. Oh, gosh, I forget his name all of a sudden. I've lost it, but, you know, the gerbil fell off. But anyhow, the Montez Sweat.
Oh, yeah.
The guy got traded from.
Yep.
And he goes, dude, you're thick, man. You're big. Do you used to play? I was like, yeah. You know that organization that you walked into every day for 6 years? Yeah. My face is on the wall there. You walk by it every day when you came into the facility.
Oh, you were a lot fatter back then.
No,
your head was a lot larger than
I was pretty fine back then.
No, not really.
You were fat. I was not fat. I was yoked.
You were fat.
Gosh, you don't understand. You don't know what yoked is. Anyhow, but like I
you
always
might
say,
have been yoked, but it was like, buried under some fat.
My generation of players knew the game from watching it on television, right? I knew the history of the game from watching it on television. I grew up with it. This generation of players, and I'm not saying it's bad, it's just different. Most of these players didn't grow up watching the game. You know, they grew up, their understanding of NFL football was from Madden, the video game. And so it's a different, and this is different. And I don't blame necessarily players for going, hey, the going got tough, and I have an automatic out to jump into the portal. For a lot of us, you know, we had to do change positions when the going got tough. And I played nose guard, I played defensive tackle, I played defensive end, I played outside backer, and then I moved over to the offensive side of the ball. But, and you know what that did for me? I'm telling you now, if the transfer portal was there, maybe I'd just get up and leave. Oh, you guys moved me from, I was an all-conference nose guard as a freshman. Now you've moved me from nose guard. So, but hear me out. The reason that I was a really good NFL player and a really smart NFL player is because I played so much defense in college that it really made me look at the game differently. So those are the benefits of struggle.
Okay, and I'm not, I can't speak to what that experience is like, but I would think that if a player as a freshman doesn't like where he's at, realizes he made a mistake, mm-hmm. isn't comfortable, and he ends up going into the portal and transferring somewhere else, at some point, he's going to have to face those challenges. She's going to have to face those challenges. Yeah. Because, or if they don't, it means they made the right choice right. in going to the new place. But at some point, especially a college athlete, I got a ton of respect for college athletes in any sport because of if you're doing it the right way, it is...
It's hard, man.
It's a massive undertaking.
It's hard.
With going to school and doing your homework and all the practices that you got to do and all the early morning workouts. It's a lot. I got a ton of respect for college athletes. And so I would think that even if you transfer because you didn't like your first situation, you're going to have to figure it out eventually. And if you don't, then you were never made of the right stuff anyway.
I agree. I agree with all that. But there's also that, wait a minute, I'm getting $1 million at this school,
mm-hmm.
or I'm getting $500 at this school. I'm getting I'm getting $20,000 at this school, and the other schools offer me $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's also that. Well, so it's a new frontier.
Yeah,
it's the Wild West, and like you said, the water level will find its kind of balance mm-hmm. or mark, right? I mean, you'll eventually regress to the mean.
Yeah,
but is Nick Saban somewhat hypocritical? Yep. Is he also 100% right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's the transfer portal, NIL, it is fraught with peril for what it could mean for big-time mm-hmm. college sports. But hearing it come from a guy who has greatly benefited
I get
from
that.
The old ways.
Yeah, I get that.
Sounds hypocritical.